Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you'll give us understanding of it tonight. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Now, once upon a time, we received physical wedding invitations, didn't we? You'd get an envelope, and inside you'd find your invitation and an RSVP card. This is the invitation to Shuva and my wedding 2 years ago. And you'd indicate on the RSVP card whether you were going or not, and you send it back to the host. That's what you did back in the olden days. But these days, in our generation, it's becoming more and more common to be invited to weddings on Facebook by being invited to a Facebook event. Sometimes it was simply like a save the date notice so that you lock it into your diary. Don't worry, I've blurred out just so no one gets embarrassed. You lock it into your diary, and then closer to the date, you'd receive the physical invitation with details to RSVP. Sometimes the Facebook event isn't just save the date, it's the whole invitation. And you'd indicate whether or not you were going by clicking one of three buttons. You can click going, can't going, you can even click maybe. Some people click one of the options straight away. But you know what most people do? You don't click anything yet. A few weeks pass and the couple posts a reminder on the Facebook event to RSVP, respond. Some people do respond, but still, most people don't click anything. And then a few more weeks pass and then another reminder, and then I think you get the point. Have you ever been guilty of that? Looking more on this side of the room. Is that how you view God's invitation to you? There's no real need to respond yet. Maybe later. When the passage we read today, Jesus tells a parable. A parable is a story that is drawn from our human experience and is used to teach a spiritual truth. So Jesus used parables to teach people about the kingdom of God. And in the parable of the wedding banquet, God invites us to the greatest celebration ever. He invites us to fellowship with him and his people in his kingdom. And the point of this parable is this. You and I have a responsibility to respond to his invitation. You and I have a responsibility to click going. So what's the kingdom of heaven like? Well, Jesus says it's like a royal wedding banquet. Look at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." Now, the Bible often uses this image of feasting and eating and celebrating to describe what it's like to be in heaven. So, chapter 25, verse 6, for example, says, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines." You see, whenever we celebrate, whether it's a birthday or it's Christmas or it's a wedding, whatever it is, there's always lots of food, isn't there? We joke, we laugh, we sing, we tell embarrassing stories, and we do it as we eat and drink together. That's what it's like to fellowship with God. It's like a great celebration with stacks of food. The biggest celebration I've been a part of is, of course, my own wedding. Kind of have to say that my wife is sitting towards the back. Let me take you back to our wedding reception. For entree, you had Atlantic salmon roulettes and a dish called Treasures of the Sea, which had salmon and crab and caviar and oysters and prawns and scallops. For mains, you had a roasted barramundi fillet and pan-seared veal cutlets. For dessert, you had affogato and fig honey pistachio slice. Am I making you hungry? Don't worry, there's supper at the back afterwards. And as you ate all this delicious food, if you looked up, you had full view of Darling Harbour outside. At 8 o'clock, the fireworks went off. I like to think that they were put on just for us. And inside were 200 of our closest friends and family. We joked, we laughed, we sang, we danced, we told embarrassing stories. Well, I listened to embarrassing stories about me, and we did it as we ate and drank together. The kingdom of heaven is like a royal wedding banquet. To fellowship with God is like the greatest celebration with stacks of food. It's a celebration you don't want to miss. Now, in the context of Matthew's gospel, it's important to note that this parable is being addressed directly to the religious leadership of Israel. So if you look back at chapter 21 in your Bibles, if you look towards the middle of that chapter, you will notice that the religious leaders are in conflict with Jesus. They're challenging his authority. And so Jesus tells three parables directed against them. The first parable you will see is the parable of the two sons, which speaks about their failure to obey God. Then the next one is the parable of the tenants, which speaks of their lack of loyalty towards God. And now in chapter 22, the third of the three parables, the parable of the wedding banquet shows that they will have no place in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Well, Jesus says it's because of their response. You see, they've rejected God's invitation and his call to enter into fellowship with him. So look at verse 3 of the parable. The king sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. The first group responded to the king's invitation with indifference. They simply ignore it and go about their own business. They don't even bother clicking maybe or can't go, but it's very clear by their actions that they have no intention of going to the wedding banquet. The second group respond to the king's invitation with open hostility. They don't hold back. They beat up his servants and they kill them. Not only do they click can't go, but they tear up the invitation and persecute those who delivered it. You see, the religious leaders of Israel, as did most of the people of Israel, they expected to be part of God's kingdom because they were the chosen people of God. But time and time again, we read in the Old Testament, the Jews and their leaders rejected God's call through the prophets to turn back to him and to fellowship with him. Well, now God has sent his own son into the world as the promised Messiah and Savior. But they continue to reject him. They continue to reject God by refusing to submit to Jesus' authority. And so Jesus says that they will have no place in the kingdom of heaven. They had a responsibility to respond to God's invitation, but they refused it time and time again. So the invitations have been rejected. The seats are empty. But the wedding banquet is ready. The food is cooked. The tables are set. The photo booth is set up. So what does the king do? Well, he invites everyone. Look at verse 8. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. See, what Jesus is saying here is that their rejection of him will result in the gospel going out and being declared to all peoples. Their rejection of him will result in the message of salvation going to the Gentiles, to non-Jews. And that's exactly what happens. After Jesus rose from the dead, at the end of Matthew's gospel in chapter 28, you'll remember these words well, because Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. And then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he promises that the Holy Spirit will empower them to be his witnesses, where? To the ends of the earth. And that's what happens in the whole book of Acts. We see the gospel crossing all borders, which is why the Apostle Paul can say in these famous words, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Everyone is invited. The good, as well as the bad, as well as the good. Whatever your background, whatever your culture, whatever your language, whatever your education, whatever your social standing, whatever your moral track record, you are invited. No one is excluded. And it's completely free. You're not asked to bring a plate. You're not asked to bring a gift. You're not asked to split the costs. You're simply asked to accept the invitation and to come. Now, have you ever seen that Cadbury Favourites ad? Have you seen that ad before? What to bring when you're told not to bring a thing? The ad starts with a woman chatting to this couple at the supermarket. The woman has invited them over to a party at her place. And as she walks away, she says, "Great, we'll see you guys this arvo. Oh, and don't bring a thing." As she's out of sight, the wife turns to her husband and she says sarcastically, "Don't bring a thing." The husband thinks they're off the hook and he says, "Sweet." The wife goes, "We have to bring something." And the husband goes, "We so do." And they end up bringing a box of Cadbury Favourites. What to bring when you're told not to bring a thing. It's a funny ad, but I think it also captures how many people think about God's invitation. Don't bring a thing. We have to bring something. Many people think that to enter the kingdom of heaven, yes, you need to put your faith in Jesus. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. You also need to bring your good works to the table as well. That is, you are saved by faith in Jesus and by your good works. Is that what you think? It's what many people in our culture think. It's what Catholicism teaches. But, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I need to be straight with you, it's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus bore the full punishment for our rebellion against him. The Bible teaches that we do not enter the kingdom of heaven by our own merit, but only by faith in what Jesus has done for us. The King in his generosity has borne the full cost of the party. It's a free invitation, and you're all invited. And so this parable was addressed to the religious leadership of Israel, but the invitation has extended to all people. And so do you see how this parable is also addressed to you and me? You and I have a responsibility to respond to God's invitation. So what is your response? What is your RSVP? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to start by saying it's so great that you have joined us here tonight. I take it that you're probably more like the first group of people in the parable rather than the second group. You're not openly hostile towards God. You haven't been. You're just indifferent. You haven't done much about it. You haven't clicked going, but you haven't clicked going either. Because there's no need to RSVP yet. I mean, you haven't been openly hostile towards him, so there's no reason why God wouldn't let you in at the end anyways. You know, that was what I was like before I became a Christian. I was never openly hostile towards God. I simply ignored Jesus and carried about with my own life. I poured my efforts into studying hard at school and at university and pursuing a career in physiotherapy. I wanted to be recognized for my achievements, to earn money and to live comfortably. But you see, the Bible says that even if you haven't been openly hostile towards God, when you ignore God and carry on with your life without any regard for him, you have still rebelled against him. The late John Chapman puts it this way. He says, suppose that you and I are soldiers in trench warfare. We're on the same side. You have a single firing rifle. I have a submachine gun. The enemy charges at us, and we both blast off at maximum potential. Now, there's no doubt that I have fired more shots than you. I have the submachine gun. You have the single firing rifle. Now, suppose we are both captured by the enemy. No one is going to ask who fired the most shots. We will both be treated like enemies because that is what we are. And so the question is really one of whose side are we on? Some of us have demonstrated our rebellion by the submachine gun method. Others do it by the single firing method. However, the Bible says we are all enemies. We are all in rebellion against God. And so God is rightly angry at our sin, and we stand under his judgment. But like I said, the message of the gospel is that at the cross, Jesus took the full punishment for our sin. And so God invites us to fellowship with him through Jesus. Continue ignoring God's invitation, and you remain under God's judgment. Accept God's invitation through Jesus, and you will be part of that wedding hall filled with guests. Isn't that just a wonderful picture? But the parable doesn't end at verse 10. It actually ends on a rather unexpected note, because there's a man in the wedding hall who isn't dressed appropriately. Look at verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here's a man who's accepted the invitation. He's come to the party, but he's not dressed appropriately. And so like those who reject God's invitation, like those who have clicked can't go, this man is punished likewise. Now, why isn't he dressed properly? And what does it all mean? Some people suggest that in the ancient world, back in Jesus' day, the host of the party provided wedding clothes to the guests. Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? And so in this parable, it is suggested that the wedding clothes symbolize God clothing believers with the righteousness that is needed to enter the kingdom. This was certainly the expectation of the Old Testament. So, in Isaiah 61 verse 10, for example, it says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness." And in the New Testament, Christ is that righteousness whom God clothes all believers with. In Galatians 3, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." All this is true. We need to be clothed by God with Christ's righteousness to be acceptable to him. However, the emphasis of this parable isn't on God's sovereign action, but on our responsibility to accept God's invitation. The emphasis on that parable is on our response. And so, whilst everything I've said before is true, given the emphasis of this parable, I think it is better to think of this man as someone who didn't respond correctly. He represents the person who has accepted God's invitation, but continues to live a life of disobedience towards God. He's the person who calls himself or herself a Christian, but doesn't live with Jesus as Lord. He's the person who ticks Christian on the census survey, but whose life looks no different to his or her non-Christian neighbor. And so we're left with a very big question, aren't we? How do you accept God's invitation? How do you respond to God's invitation correctly? How do you click can't go and do it right? Well, I think you need to ask yourself this question. Have you repented and followed Jesus? That's what the Bible says. Have you repented and followed Jesus? I'm not asking, do you call yourself a Christian? Or have you grown up at church? Or are your Christian's parents? I'm asking, have you repented and followed Jesus? Have you turned from living your way to living with Jesus as Lord of your life? Does Jesus reign over your whole life? Does he affect your decisions, your thoughts, and your actions? Because Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And so have you repented and followed Jesus? Have you responded correctly? For many are invited, but few are chosen. How do you know if you're one of the chosen? The answer of this parable is that you know by the way you respond to God's invitation. If you reject it, if you click can't go, or maybe, or ignore it altogether, then you are not chosen, and you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but you remain under God's anger and judgment. But if you accept God's invitation, if you click going, if you repent and follow Jesus as Lord, then you are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven, and you will be part of that wedding hall filled with guests. Those who accept God's invitation are the chosen. God invites you to the greatest celebration ever. He invites you to fellowship with him and his people in his kingdom. And so have you accepted God's gracious invitation for yourself? Please pray with me.